Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. Hi, and welcome back to the She Said Project podcast, where each week we share a story from That's What She Said archives. I am your host, Jeanette Jerzyk.
And I am co-founder, Kiri Rosso.
Hi, and we are here to share the movement, the mission that is women supporting women through the power of storytelling. We produce shows live on stage, and That's What She Said, started in Champaign, Illinois. And our whole goal is to share the stories that have been told on the She Said stage to more women, because we know that when women come together to support each other, amazing things can happen. Right, Kiri?
We always say the mission is simple, to exchange stories, but the results are extraordinary.
And you want to talk about extraordinary? Let's talk about who we're talking to today, our special, special, special guest.
The one and only Dr.
Dr. Tanisha King Taylor. Tanisha, are you with us?
I am with you. I'm so happy to be with you all.
Oh my goodness. Welcome. Welcome. Let me just share with our friends that you appeared in the 2019 cast in Champaign, Illinois, where you shared a story called Just a Black Girl.
That's right.
Tell us about yourself and your place in this world and why that story was important for you to share.
So in this wonderful journey we call life. No, just kidding. Life has been quite the journey for me. I talk about just being a black girl and what that meant growing up on the south side of Chicago, the resources or lack thereof that we had, and some of the stereotypical things that people tend to place black girl into these boxes about what we can and can't achieve. And so it was really important for me to be genuine, authentic, and really vulnerable in that moment in the 2019 show in order to demonstrate a different side of what people typically think about when they see just a black girl. And it was also important for me to share and be vulnerable so that other black girls that look like me, that have similar experiences as me, knew that they did have a chance, that they can thrive, and that they can be whatever they dream to be with other women that support them to get there. And so that was why it was important for me to share that story.
And we're so grateful that you took to the stage to share your story with over 1,100 women at the live performance. But now through the She Said Project podcast, you know, we're going to share the story of Just a Black Girl with many, many, many more friends who can learn and be inspired from your experiences. So we're going to go ahead and play the clip from the live show. This is Dr. Tanisha King Taylor speaking from the heart in the 2019 production of That's What She Said in Champaign, Illinois with Just a Black Girl.
I'm just a black girl. Just a black girl. Statistically, they said I would make it. Black girls from Chicago don't always make it out. They say we tend to become a product of our environment. I grew up on the South Side, what we affectionately called the low end, where poverty, drugs, teen pregnancy, and alcoholism were the norm. My mama worked 3 jobs to support us, nights and weekends, but we still got food stamps. Sometimes I watched her go without so that my brothers and I could eat. I often slept on the couch or the floor I shared with my 2 younger brothers. Gang violence happened every day in my neighborhood. I knew a boy in 8th grade who was shot and killed. In 7th and 8th grade, I knew girls who were pregnant or had babies already. I went to Dunbar Vocational Career Academy, which was much like a prison. Security guards, metal detectors, and bars on the windows. We were heavily policed. That environment instilled in us as black children that we would be nothing more than the existence we knew. But as a little black girl, I knew there was more. Knew in my heart I was more. I was full of wisdom, knowledge, and potential. I saw beyond my environment, beyond the labels that educators and society gave me and others that looked like me. But no one ever showed me a way to be more. There was this one day that stood out to me and showed me a different kind of life. We had an exchange day with a high school in Naperville, and they were pretty fancy. You knew Naperville. There, as you seem to know, I saw superior textbooks and enhanced technology. But more importantly, I witnessed the better treatment of the students. They were not questioned about their whereabouts or treated like second-class citizens. That's when I knew that I needed to find a way to something better. College seemed like a way out, a way up. No one in my immediate family had ever attended college, so no one prepared me for the application process because they were just as clueless as I was. My high school counselor thought that community college was my only hope, if any. When I expressed my interest in attending the U of I, she retorted matter-of-factly, "No, no, no, that is not an option for you." I recently read Becoming by Michelle Obama. Her high school counselor told her the same thing. So much for seeing our potential. Now, I can't blame the high school counselor too much, though. You see, I only got a 16 on the ACT. Yeah, just a 16. And in college terms, you were done, right? There is no way that any university, and definitely not a prestigious one like U of I, would accept you. Senior year, a few students I knew began applying to universities. My high school sweetheart applied and was accepted to Northern Illinois University. So that inspired me to submit my one and only college application. In an attempt to follow him, of course. It's okay. He's my husband now. I put all my eggs in that one basket, and nobody ever told me that was not a good idea, that I should apply to more than one school. But I only applied to Northern, where they happened to lose my information. Can you believe that? Not a knock on Northern. It was just my fate. It just so happened that recruiters from the U of I were speaking to classes that week about a bridge transition program in the College of LAS, and they were offering application fee waivers. I submitted the application and went through the interview process. I remember the determination I felt for that opportunity, dressing up for the interview and taking the bus on my own to the Chicago U of I campus. I got accepted and was required to complete the summer portion of the program. Boy, oh boy, I did not know what I was in for. Bridge was very different. We even made t-shirts that said, "You think you know, but you have no idea." Bridge was rough. No TV, no phones, and a tedious schedule starting at 7 a.m. and ending at 10 p.m. daily. So we complained about that and complained some more. But now I realize, of course, the opportunity the program provided me. It enhanced my discipline, encouraged my hard work, taught me study habits, time management, and much more. These were skills that went untaught at Dunbar. I survived, and those experiences helped build my resilience, helped me push through, and taught me how to get up from setbacks. They also helped and continue to help build my character and allow me to use the lessons I've learned to pay it forward to other women, especially Black girls. My mother was also integral in my development, encouraging me constantly, telling me to be open to all opportunities, letting me do my own thing, be my own person, which instilled a high level of self-confidence and an unstoppable mentality. In college, I continued to seek out women that would support me the ways that my mother did. I found the best sorority, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. I found other women that looked like me, shared resources with me, grew with me, and challenged me, They still challenge me to this day. This is how I continue to excel despite obstacles and continue to climb the ladder of success because of the support of other women. Just 1 month after college graduation, I began my master's program in the School of Social Work, also here at Illinois. Social work has allowed me to find my true passion, helping and supporting vulnerable and marginalized groups, uplifting women, and fighting for social justice. Serving others, like I'd done in my sorority, is now my profession and daily walk. I began serving underrepresented students through a TRIO program, where I was able to provide support and resources through a social work lens. I live and breathe social work. This Black girl, who only got a 16 on the ACT, who lived in poverty in an environment stricken with many ills of society, who never had her own bed to sleep in until her first night in college, is now a director in student affairs at Illinois, a doctoral candidate in educational policy, a professor, a mentor, an entrepreneur, a board member of community organizations, an author recognized by the NAACP, host of her own podcast, and a county board member. Most importantly, a wife and mother of three. And I used to be your local Mary Kay representative. But I'm just a Black girl. Chi-town made me. The South Side raised me. The low end gave me what I needed, sustained me. A girl constantly told that she would never soar, that she would never thrive. But even when sleeping on a shared bedroom floor, I knew the Lord had more. Having defeated the myths, stereotypes, and statistics, I am honored to stand before you as a model of Black excellence and Black girl magic.
Well, Tanisha, you are a model of Black girl magic and Black excellence in your community and in your life. What was that experience like for you to share your story loud and proud?
It was weird at first. I remember in the writing stages and processes wanting to tell a different story, right? And I think that's probably the case for a lot of us women that were broaching the stage. And so Jeanette was intrigued by some of the things I told her based on growing up. When she said, well, just start by telling me like a little bit about you and growing up. And I started sharing these things and she was like, wait. Whoa.
And I think this
that's
is
your story.
This is hugely important because you were so quick to say, well, my life isn't that interesting. I don't have a story. I'm just a Black girl from the South Side of Chicago. And that was the moment because I don't know what that's like. And there are millions of women out there that don't know what that's like. And so just by being vulnerable, sharing your, you know, how you grew up and where you grew up and how it impacted you as a woman, that alone is a huge, impactful story. So thank you for taking that chance with me because, you know, who you are innately was enough. It was what we needed to hear.
And it obviously was what the crowd needed to hear. I mean, they went crazy for you at the end of that. Could you feel that when you were up there? Could you see it?
I saw it and I felt it. And it was a different moment because like you said, you don't think your life is that interesting. You're like, and sometimes I think even those experiences, they're subpar, you normalize it and you think that this is either the norm or, like you said, it's not too interesting, but it really has a core inspirational tone to it, which you don't see yourself as, right? You don't see yourself as this motivational or inspirational person. You just kind of see yourself as having lived a life and this is what happened to me. And the results were amazing.
But when we started breaking it down and pulling out all the little things that you had overcome that didn't even seem that significant to you at the time, I always remember that line where you said that you had had not even ever slept in a bed of your own until you got to college. And every time you get to that line at the end of your story, you would get choked up and I would get choked up. Now, that was a significant moment in your life of getting to the point where you were, you know, able to sleep in a bed, something so many of us take for granted.
And again, something that especially as growing up, you normalize and you think that this is what people do. You don't even see it because you're living it. You don't see it as something that is not normal. And I think the choking up of it, even as I talk about it now and think about it, is like because you truly come to a place accepting that is what life was. And that's what, and you really kind of start reflecting and healing from the fact that that's not normal. So I think it was a big deal on a number of levels from self-reflection point and for other people that heard it.
And it's so beautiful at the end when you list out all the things that you are today and all the significant accomplishments that you hold. And I need to share that at the time of that performance, it was not yet true. But as of today, you have completed your PhD and, you know, stand proudly with the title of doctor.
Yes. And that was a tumultuous journey. And it's less than 1% of the population overall that holds a PhD, and less than that as a person of color. So it's definitely a badge I wear proudly in my family. I'm still first generation to this day. There's still not another person in my family that has even earned a bachelor's degree. And so I live the life of attempting to be a trailblazer. Even if I get exhausted and tired, I recognize that I end up being the voice for a lot of people, even if that's not the route that I intended to take, and that it makes a difference, not only immediately for my family, but for other family members and then for other little Black girls on the South Side.
Thank you so much. I remember when everyone sort of jumped to their feet thinking, you know, that you were what we often talk about, that we want our speakers to provide a mirror and a window, that we want people to see someone who reflects back themselves. And we also want the speakers to open a window for people to see a different perspective. And you nailed both of those for so many different people for so many different reasons. And we are beyond grateful.
Yeah, we are so proud of you and for knowing you to have been part of your journey and watching your accomplishments and where you've been since the show, which wasn't that long ago. But, you know, how did that experience have an impact on your life? You know, taking that risk and sharing that story, did you get feedback from friends and family from that night?
It was life-changing, to say the least. I had already been on this journey of wanting to be on stages and share stories, but it was never as much from a personal aspect, right? Because I minimized what my experience had been. It was life-changing, again, in the way that people perceived it, the shock and surprise that they had based on the story, but then just the feedback of how much they enjoyed it. I got so many texts and Facebook messages and inboxes that said thank you for being vulnerable, thank you for sharing that, or a Me Too moment of some of these things were really similar to my experience, and I really either hadn't thought about it or wasn't comfortable talking about it until I saw that. And so I still get messages to this day. People still forward it to me like I wasn't there. I was there, huh? Yeah, on the YouTube, like I did. So it's really humbling in so many ways because it was a dream come true to be able to be on the stage of over 1,100 people at a Virginia theater show. Had never done a show. I had done Women's March, but again, it was really from a different lens and it wasn't as personal or vulnerable. So it was life changing in a number of ways, and I think it's made me comfortable being able to share the story, especially because of the impact I've seen it.
Right.
And on other people.
You really pointed it out. It is the impact of having a live performance with the women in the room sharing that moment. But as you have witnessed, that impact lives on. It lives on through people sharing the video clips from the show and talking about the show and having those personal connections with you. And now through the She Said Project podcast, you know, we are so excited that we can share your story with even more She Said sisters. And so we want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us today, for talking about that wonderful experience and all the beautiful parts of the journey that led up to right now and us getting to know you. You know, there's some little girls out there who really needed to hear what you had to say. So thank you. And thank you to our audience and our friends and family. Thank you, Carrie Rosso, for being here. It's all about women supporting women here at the She Said Project podcast. Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives. Learn more at sterlingwealthmanagement.com.